Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Before she died, Virginia Giuffre wrote a book. A book that is coming out now that a lot of powerful men are rather scared of. And they should be, because we're about to witness a reckoning. She wrote a book that makes powerful men sweat through their $1,000 suits. She didn't write it to make money or to sell a scandal. She wrote it because truth is the only weapon left to someone the system would rather forget. Her memoir, Nobody's Girl, has come out just months after her death, and it reads like a final act of defiance. It's a kind of story that doesn't end with a headline or a hashtag. It ends with silence. And the question echoing in that silence, how many of the men who hurt her are still out there giving keynote speeches, TED Talks, and pretending to be human? Spoiler alert, a lot of them. Virginia Roberts Giuffre was a kid from Palm Beach who had every right to live an ordinary life. Instead, she ended up in a world designed to consume people like her. A world where billionaires and politicians traded teenage girls the way they traded real estate. And where the only thing more valuable than money was the ability to make other people disappear. She was 16 when it started. She had a job at President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago, folding towels and fetching drinks for his friends, people who would never remember her name. One afternoon, Ghislaine Maxwell, dressed like she was on her way to a Vogue shoot, struck up a conversation. She offered mentorship, opportunity, something bigger. That's how predators work. Not with threats, but with invitations. Virginia said yes because at 16, you don't know that the wrong yes can change your life forever. You don't. Soon she met Jeffrey Epstein, Trump's friend, the man everyone in Palm Beach's elite circles seemed to know, but nobody really looked at. He was charming, polite, generous, the kind of man people bragged about being friends with. He also kept every room in his home wired for sound and video. He called it security. Virginia later called it what it was, leverage. In Nobody's Girl, she describes it with the clarity of someone who's had years to replay every moment. Every massage table, every flight log, every camera blinking red in the corner of a room. She says Epstein once told her, information is power. And when what he collected was more than information, it was the undoing of men who believed they could do anything. They gave him what he wanted, and in return, he got everything he needed to own them. He was the spider. The web was made of money, secrets, and girls who were told to smile. Epstein didn't invent his system, he just refined it. And he had help. Ghislaine Maxwell, the elegant recruiter. Pilots who kept their mouths shut. Assistants who booked the travel institutions that kept taking his checks even after the whispers grew too loud to ignore. Harvard took his donations, banks handled his accounts, politicians attended his parties. Everyone had a reason not to look too closely. That's the luxury of power, the ability to outsource your conscience. When the abuse started, Virginia says she didn't even have the vocabulary for what was happening to her. She was lent out, as Epstein called it. That's a phrase she uses in her book, lent out, as if she were a piece of property. To billionaire number one and his pregnant wife, to billionaire number two, a man with thinning brown hair, to a Herald statesman in New York and Palm Beach, and to a well-known prime minister who she says essayed her so violently she lost consciousness. She begged Epstein never to send her back. He did anyway, because to him, pain was profit. That's what predators in power do. They turn suffering into currency. They measure control not by who they can buy, but by who they can break. Guffrey's book doesn't name every man. She wanted to, but she knew the price. She'd already faced lawsuits, online attacks, a verified death threat. The FBI warned her about. Her house had been broken into. Friends told her to disappear for a while. Instead, she kept talking. She testified. She sued. She refused to vanish, even when silence would have been safer. Her co-author, journalist Amy Wallace, has said publicly, "The names exist and the tapes exist. Epstein's network recorded everything. Bedrooms, bathrooms, massage rooms, all wired. Hundreds of hours of footage. According to Virginia, he called them his insurance policy. For years, those tapes have been locked away somewhere in the custody of the Department of Justice. Wallace knows what's on them. So does the FBI. And yet, we still don't. That's what real power looks like. Not wealth, not fame, but the ability to decide which truth gets buried and which gets aired." When Nobody's Girl was released, even in death, Virginia managed to shake that silence again, because the moment her book hit shelves, the speculation began. Who were the unnamed men? Was the governor from a western state still in office? Was the former senator still giving lectures about integrity? Was the prime minister still smiling for cameras, shaking hands with presidents? The internet filled in the blanks faster than any newsroom ever could. But the point of her story was never to play guessing games. The point was to show how easy it is for predators to thrive when everyone else has something to lose. And that's the most damning part. Epstein's world didn't crumble because the powerful grew a conscience. It crumbled because the system ran out of places to hide them. He was arrested in 2019, died in his cell weeks later, and the public called it closure. But for Virginia, there was no closure. The men who used her were still out there, golfing, fundraising, running companies, running for political office, sometimes getting elected twice. The women who enabled them were still collecting checks. Justice came from the monster, not the machine that built him. When she filed her lawsuit against Prince Andrew in 2021, people called her greedy. She settled in 2022 for a sum reportedly around $12 million, money she immediately turned toward survivor advocacy. But the damage was already done. In the court of public opinion, survivors are forced to relive their trauma just to prove they deserve to be believed. Meanwhile, men accused of serial abuse get think pieces about redemption arcs. Virginia once said, "I don't want revenge, I want acknowledgement." And that's the difference between a survivor and a predator. One who wants to heal, the other wants to erase. Her organizers soar, speak out, act, reclaim. Became a refuge for other survivors of trafficking. She traveled, spoke, met with lawmakers. Every time she told her story, it cost her something. Sleep, peace, safety. But she did it anyway. Because once you've been treated like property, claiming your voice back is the only way to become human again. In April of 2025, Virginia Guffrey allegedly took her own life. There were no conspiracies, no shadowy plots, just the slow, unbearable weight of a fight that never ends. The woman who forced the world to see what it didn't want to see had finally carried more than any one person could. At least that's the official story. Her dad disagrees. So do a lot of people. And it could have been mental collapse under the weight. It really could have been. Or it could have been, you know, a lot of people not wanting their story to be told. Surprise! It's already been. And it will continue to be. And you will go down. And that's what makes this story so unforgivable. She shouldn't have had to die to be believed. She shouldn't have had to publish from the grave for her words to be heard. Yet even now, her voice won't stay quiet because her death didn't end the story. Just made it harder for the powerful to pretend it's over. Every time Nobody's Girl sells another copy, another layer of silence cracks. Every reader who turns a page becomes a witness, and every name she didn't print becomes a question somewhere of someone. Will they eventually answer? In her final recorded interview, she said something that should haunt anyone who still thinks this was just about Epstein. She said, "You can kill a man, but you can't kill a network." And she was right. Because networks don't die. They adapt. They rebrand. They run foundations. They sit on boards. They call it philanthropy instead of power laundering. And the cycle continues. The Department of Justice still holds Epstein's files. The FBI still holds evidence. Prosecutors still claim the public interest doesn't outweigh privacy. But privacy for who? For the victims who've already lost everything, or for the men whose reputations might finally face the same ruin they inflicted on others? When Amy Wallace, her co-writer, was asked if she'd ever release the tapes once those perpetrators die, she wouldn't answer directly. She just said, "They're safe, and no one will ever find them." Imagine being so afraid of truth that you have to hide it like a weapon. That's not justice, that's containment. And it tells you everything about who still runs the show. Virginia's story exposes more than one man's crimes. It exposes the entire architecture of protection that surrounds power. The lawyers who threaten, the PR teams that spin, the enablers who say she was troubled instead of they were complicit. Because every predator in power has a team. And every team depends on silence to survive. And I don't know anyone who protects predators other than predators. Do you? It's a good question for Mike Johnson, actually. Is there a reason we don't have a senator seated yet? Is there a reason you don't want some information to come out? Is it self-preservation on your part, or is it some people out there that you don't want upset? I don't know. History will be the judge of that. The uncomfortable truth is this. If every tape Epstein made were released tomorrow, we wouldn't just lose a few famous faces. We'd lose faith in every institution that told us it was working for justice. But haven't we already done that? Haven't we already lost that faith? So let's drop the damn names. Because the web doesn't stop at Palm Beach or Manhattan. It runs through politics, finance, academia. Everywhere, prestige outpaces morality. It ran exactly through where Virginia was originally discovered, Mar-a-Lago. And that's why the Epstein story still matters. Not because of the spacious or salacious details, or the widespread names. but because it's proof of what happens when accountability bends for money. When a system looks at a teenage girl and sees a liability instead of a life. When the people sworn to protect her ask how much her story is worth instead of how much it cost her to tell it. Predators in power survive because they're allowed to. Because we mistake charm for credibility, wealth for virtue, philanthropy for repentance. Because the same people who lecture about justice attend fundraisers with the men they privately call monsters. Because institutions care more about brand safety than child safety. Virginia Giuffre refused to be part of that illusion. She dragged the truth into daylight and paid with her peace. And even in death, she's still forcing us to look. Will you look? Or is it too spooky and scary? And is it about people that you once supported and said, oh, this is a lovely human being. I truly think things are going to get so great with them. Again, I don't know anyone who protects predators other than predators. So which side of history would you like to be on? The book's final pages aren't about revenge. They're about reclaiming. She writes that she wanted to help others see that their lives aren't over. That's the cruel irony. The predators lived, the survivor didn't, and yet she's the one whose voice is still echoing through the halls of power. And that's why her story matters more than ever. Because the Epstein network wasn't a one-off, it was a mirror. And when you look into it long enough, you start to recognize the faces staring back. They're judges, they're donors, they're executives. They're the men who said she should have known better. It's on her. It's her fault. They're the women who whispered, don't get involved. They're us if we choose to silence the truth. Predators in power don't fear prison. They fear exposure. They don't fear guilt. They fear legacy. Virginia's book, her life, is that exposure. It's a record they can't shred. The headline they can't outspend. The voice they can't sue into silence. And that's the irony of it all. Epstein is dead. Maxwell is in prison. For now, Virginia Giuffre is gone. And still the men who created and consumed that empire of abuse walk free under the illusion that they've escaped history. They haven't. Because history doesn't forget, it waits. Somewhere in a vault, the tapes exist. Somewhere in a file cabinet, the names are written. And somewhere between the lines of Nobody's Girl, a dead woman is still speaking, telling the world exactly what power sounds like when it's afraid. The question isn't whether those names will ever come out. It's whether we'll have the courage to look at them when they do and say, no more. You're done. Because predators in power don't disappear, they evolve. They trade scandals for foundations, crimes for speaking tours, and victims for applause. And they keep going until someone like Virginia Giuffre stands up and says no more. That's what she did. That's what her book still does. And that's why even in death, she's more alive, more dangerous than any of the men who tried to destroy her. Because the one thing stronger than power is truth spoken by someone who has nothing left to lose. Your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube. Search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi to find us. Do that same search to find our podcast as well. And please do hit subscribe. I have a feeling we'll be talking a lot about this in the near future. I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.